Hey everyone, welcome to episode 140 of the Lift Free and Diet Hard podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Coates, and I've got a fun one for you guys today. So I'm coming up on speaking at CanFit Pro's global trade show and conference, and that we're excited about. So my pal, Funk Roberts, is here with me, and we're actually going to be on a panel together, which is actually how we initially got connected and preparing for that stuff. And Funk is a really good example of something I'm interested in is, like I was saying off air to Funk, I think a lot of us in the industry, we can play small. We can play small with our ambitions, what we think we're capable of. We're very much bound by limiting beliefs about this stuff. But Funk has amassed a huge YouTube following. We're talking over 700,000 subscribers. That's not an accident. You've written a couple books, Amazon bestsellers. You have a seven-figure business. Actually, I think it's like 2 7-figure businesses ultimately. And You branded around, we could talk about brand after too, but primarily coaching men in their 40s through their 60s. But it's really cool to have you on. So thanks for taking the time.
And thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being on this podcast, man. You are a beast in this industry. You know, so many people. This is an honor. And yeah, thank you so much for having me here for sure.
Well, I feel like the honor works the other way. So, you know, you get someone who has built something like this. You don't do that based on, you know, not having great boundaries around your time. So I appreciate that you value this. So no, let's dive into the YouTube stuff, because that stuff I find fascinating, because, you know, I've like taken little dabbles in YouTube, but I tell myself, you know, hey, I don't have the time because I'm doing all this other sort of stuff. And that's a narrative, right? I know it's a narrative. We also have to triage where that we can't do it all. But you're, like I said, you're playing at a very big league level on YouTube. So how powerful is this size of a following on YouTube? And we can dive into more aspects of it.
Yeah. So for me, YouTube started back in, I think 2009, I believe is when my first year, 2007, like just literally when YouTube became something that gave you the ability to share your knowledge, whatever that would be, through video worldwide. Because at that point in my life, you know, I was a professional athlete, highest level in indoor volleyball and beach volleyball. I played all over the world. You know, from there I transitioned to, you know, the 9-to-5 corporate, but I had that fitness, you know, passion for fitness. So I did personal training on the side, learned that I hated 101. I had one of the first, boot camps here in Toronto. So I had boot camps of like 100 people coming to the boot camp, and I'd be trying to figure out, you know, getting all the equipment, bringing it to the beach and trying to figure out how to set up you know, all these places. And then I realized that, okay, this is a lot of heavy lifting, specifically because I still had a 9-to-5. But then I went to Thailand, and that trip really changed my life, because at that time, I just got my certification for MMA and strength and conditioning. So to be a strength and conditioning coach for MMA and combat athletes. And so going to Thailand, watching all of these fighters from all over the world, this is now 2010, I believe, they would be in Thailand training their, you know, their stand-up, but their workouts were still bodybuilding style workouts, you know, buys and tries and pull up, like just workouts that wouldn't transition better for the attributes that fighters needed. And at that time that I went to Tiger Muay Thai, I actually did a webinar there. I did a seminar there, just like an impromptu, because I had that knowledge. And then on the way home in the plane, I said, you know what? I'm going to create a site called funkmma.com. It's going to be the center for fighters all over the world, whether you're a UFC fighter or whether you're, you know, Jim who just trains every day and, you know, doesn't have a gym to go to. All these people can go there. They'll watch videos, because I also realized that video was powerful. I wanted to put workouts, demo workouts at that time. And I would use YouTube as that vehicle. So got back home. I was still working my 9-to-5. But I got back home and that passion to, you know, now start bringing all the things that I learned in my certification course. Now I can actually apply it. Cause that's one thing that I learned when I was really early in my life, is that I'm the type of person that has to apply while I'm learning. If I can't just learn everything and then finish up and go, What did he say in week number two before? What was that in module number three? Like, I can't do that. I have to literally apply things as I go. And that's how I find I get a lot of success, as I apply. And when I teach other coaches, fitness professionals, business people, I also employ, they do the same thing. So Funk MMA, now I'm starting to shoot videos. And if you go to my YouTube channel, like, I'm also the type of person, like, I don't care what it looks like at first, because I know that things are going to get better, but it's content that's key. And if my content is good, even if I'm, as you can see, if you can't see me and you can only hear me, I'm dark-skinned black man. And I shot one of my first videos in my basement with a light hanging over me. Barely people could see me. And I think that has 400,000 or 500,000 views. Right? That was like my Spartacus follow along workout. It's so ghetto. It was so funny. And then there would be times where I'd be like shooting on my parents' driveway. And, you know, even today, it's great, because even today in the comments, sometimes like, Funk, I've been rolling with you since the garage days, you know, in your garage or on the pavement, man. I've been rolling with you since those Spartacus workouts in your basement. Like, so that to me was kind of like the spark, right? So I had created a Spartacus workout challenge, free challenge, used YouTube for all the workouts, and then for my blog too, because blogging was big way back then. So it was like a newsletter that I had, and Funk MMA. So every single week I would post a workout video with content. And that just became, you know, that just became the place that different fighters, MMA, Muay Thai, boxing, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, they would all go to this site. And I realized, okay, so I'm just going to, my whole point was just consistently posting all the time. I don't even remember how much I posted back then, because it was a long time ago. But I want you to think about something. I just want a caveat. There was no Facebook and Instagram at that point, right? There was no other social media. This was like almost the first real, true social media, I believe, at that time. I think there was like, it may have been a couple other things.
Yeah, like MySpace, but
yes, sorry,
about MySpace, right?
Yeah.
People don't like, I like to think about YouTube as long form content, because it differentiates it from the short form, which we tend to think of social media, but YouTube absolutely is a social media channel. And it's one of those ones that people keep discounting. It's the second largest search engine in the world, and it is one of the biggest websites in the entire world, right? Yeah. It is powerful.
So exactly. And everyone goes there, everyone posts, and it allows you to connect with your people. Right. So as I'm building my YouTube following and ensuring that I'm getting emails, because that is the other thing that I would always prompt, get email, because email is power. Email is money, really and truly. That's your money. You're not like, honestly, to tell you the truth, my YouTube channel, great. When I had a launch of a program, and I'm back in the day, it was very easy for me to just talk about it as I'm in the workout. Oh yeah, by the way, click the link in the description, grab my new program. And, you know, I would generate sales from there. I don't even think ads were big back then. YouTube ads were big when I first started. But I did see a lot of growth for my business, and also for me in the strength and conditioning space in MMA. Cause that's really what I was only focusing on. I was really, just hyper-focused, hyper-targeted to like just MMA. I'm going to be that guy that I'm going to be the first person you think about, even if you're watching UFC Countdown or even if you're watching whatever's going on, I'm going to be that first person you're going to think about if you're a fighter when it comes to workouts. And that's what it became. Funk MMA became massive in the world, like more like the underground world, because you wouldn't see me on UFC Countdown, but when I started to work for the UFC, because I also work for the UFC, I'm a lead with fighter relations. So I work with the fighters for Canada, Australia, and New Zealand events. I've been doing that for like 8 years. It's crazy that, like, what I remember the first week I got there in Montreal many years ago, there were people who are like, Funk Roberts, what are you doing here? Like, because fighters, you know, their trainers, their coaches, all were using my stuff. Even one of the biggest, you know, strength and conditioning guys right now on YouTube, who I love what he's doing, Phil DeRue. When I was on Phil DeRue's podcast,
right,
you know, it was one of those things like, hey, thanks for me. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I used to do, when I fought, I was using your workouts. And then just one final caveat of the power of YouTube, because basically what I'm trying to give you guys is the power, because sometimes you don't realize how many people are watching if you're putting up good content. Dustin Poirier, who's a UFC fighter, knocked out Conor McGregor. I was at those fights. I was working it. It was on Fight Island. And after the fight was over, and after Dustin was like getting interviewed in the back, and there was hundreds of people in the back, like, you know, media, as he's walking, he points to me, he goes, "Funk Roberts, I want to let you know, thank you so much for what you did with me this whole week. Listen, wow. Don't think I don't know you. I used to do your workouts. I used to write down your YouTube workouts, bring them to the gym." And then he goes to his wife. He goes, "Hey, honey, remember Funk Roberts? Remember Funk Roberts? There he is." I'm like, oh my God. That was like the first time in my life that I was actually speechless, because I knew fighters used my workouts in the past. But man, that left me speechless, because I was just like, because I was with the guy the whole week. So, I mean, I was just kind of like, so the power, if you put up information, is so key with YouTube. So key.
It's amazing when you see, like, every once in a while, like a celebrity will, like, there have been a few people, like minor celebrities, what have you, have followed my media, and then they start doing some of my stuff. I chat with them, what have you. This one will hit with you. Before my Instagram blew up, but I was already ready for T-Nation, Kelvin Escobar. Remember Kelvin Escobar?
Yes. Oh my God.
Right? So Kelvin Escobar starts following me. And this is like, I'm under 10,000 followers. I'm like, holy shit. So I chat with Kelvin all the time. Wow. He's got to be 46, I think, roughly. He's shredded. He's like 6'2", 250 pounds, just like abs, just jacked. And for anybody listening who doesn't know who Kelvin is, Kelvin was a longtime starter for the Toronto Blue Jays. Him and Roy Halladay, we were chatting about this, how they came up together, and then he went over to the Angels. So, and he's Ronald Acuna's, I think, uncle. So he's part of like that crazy. There's like a whole bunch of players in Major League right now. They're all like his nephews and family. So they're a big baseball family. And then, you know, there's other people pop up and they're doing my stuff. And it's just like, man, that's a really cool feeling, because you never know who it impacts. But then it's also the messages from the people who are not celebrities who tell you about what a meaningful impact just your media is. And the short form stuff can do great, but the long form stuff's a deeper resource, which is why I tell coaches, guys, build this stuff. And you clearly, I mean, you can hear it. Like, I don't air the videos of these. I bloody should, but you know what? I do so much stuff, but you can even hear your energy and your charisma through audio, which it doesn't surprise me at all. Now, actually, here's a good question, because it makes me think of my buddy, Luca Hosvar, who will be there, by the way. If you know Luca, you'll get to meet him. I want to come back around to Luca and a couple of our other friends, but Luca will talk about, like, Luca's Mr. Charisma. Like, he's a great public speaker, but Luca will tell you early in his career, he was like, he had none. He had to like learn how to be a great public speaker. Was this something that came naturally, or did you put a lot of effort into, you know, that charisma, that flow on camera?
So as a professional athlete, I was playing sports in front of 10, 15,000 people in a sport where there's only two people on the court. So I think I'd won most entertaining player many times. But just because of that, that's in an arena where I'm comfortable, right? Sometimes outside the arena it wasn't, but I really didn't have a problem with that, just because I learned about visualization very young, at a very young age, and how to use that to tap into, you know, being able to talk in front of people. So I really never had that much of a problem, but still talking in front of a camera is like, you know, it's totally different, because there's no one else around you except you're just setting up the camera. And so what I learned is I just needed to be myself, because at first, to tell you the truth, like, so like you said, the very first 6 years or so, I was just doing demo videos and talking over the demo videos. So all of the exercises that I was doing, I'm like only posting the best part of that exercise. If I'm doing burpees, I'm only posting, like, you know, when I'm jumping as high as I possibly can, or when I'm, you know what I mean? So, or they're like, now when I look at, you know, Instagram, and I look at all of these like videos of people just showing, you know, the exercises, like, I mean, some of them are just like, wow, that's crazy. But I know deep inside, as many people will, that it's very difficult to keep that up for a specific amount of time. So when COVID hit, that was generally my decision to start doing follow-along workouts, because nobody on YouTube was doing follow-along workouts. Nobody was. This is 2000 19, I guess, everyone was doing whatever they were doing, whether it was blog type, you know, vlogging or what have you, but not literally click play, follow along. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do follow along workouts because I have a membership site, 19,000 members, and every single workout is a follow along workout in that membership site. So when they click play, they're training with me. I'm coaching them through because I realize that I'm not there to hold their hand. And these are men in their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond. So I need to at least do follow alongs, and I'm there with them and I'm struggling. And so I realized, you know what, I'm just going to do the same thing on YouTube because A, the COVID hit. So gyms were closing down. And I thought, you know what, they're either going to, like, it's either going to expose me, I guess. I don't even know what I was thinking when I said that, but it's like, it's either going to expose me because I struggle in those workouts. I'm my real self. I'm farting. I'm, you know, snot's coming out of my nose. I'm swearing, I'm dying, but I'm still coaching through. And once I did that, man, I think that was when my YouTube channel went for like 400,000, 700,000, like it blew up during COVID because I was just being myself, and it made it things so easy. Because all I'm doing is clicking the you know, my video guy would come like, okay, we're going to shoot this video, and I'm just me. So for me, they also got to see how a real workout looks, right? Like, oh, this is okay. So, and then I look in the comments and it's all positive. Like literally every single solitary workout that I did, I just like positivity because people are like, finally, you know, someone who actually shows, you know, what it's like to do the workout, someone actually struggling and that sort of thing, which, you know, I think it's still great to do the demos and that sort of thing for other trainers for sure. But I always tell trainers, man, like do follow along workouts and coach through those workouts. If that's the lane you're in, for me, that is the lane because I just want people to click play and train.
They got a relationship with you. Right. You're very much there. So there's a big relationship which deepens that connection. It's all there for them. Right. I mean, And let's think about this. Like this stuff originated in the fucking 70s with like exercise, like aerobic videos, right? Like we're talking about like Jane Fonda shit here, right? This is not revolutionary, but yet like Jane Fonda is probably one of the biggest names and most influential figures in all of fitness. You know, she's up there with Arnold Schwarzenegger in a lot of those regards. And when you think about it, like how that shit worked, right? We've known that shit worked for a really long time. And I remember, you know, in the night, I think it was the 90s, like, was it Kiana Tom? Does that sound familiar?
100% it does. Yes. Right? Not even a question. You
know, her videos, right? Yeah. She's nice to look at too. She's a beautiful woman, right? But, and you know, hey, honesty, but you know, this sort of thing has been proven for a very long time. So it sounds crazy to think that you're here trying to sell people on the idea of doing this stuff. What you describe is similar to my buddy Don Saladino, where you probably know Don is.
Yeah.
And Don, he just filmed a whole bunch of stuff when COVID came slamming down. He talked about this in my podcast before. COVID comes slamming down. He had just shut his gym. His lease was almost done like a month later. So he shut the gym down. And him and his wife are like moving around furniture and filming like all day for multiple days. And of course, he's in a position with relationships with Men's Health Muscle Fitness Magazine. They want workouts. He's the one who's been filming them right off the hop. People want these workouts, bodyweight shit in his living room. And guess what? Blew up an email list there's a few hundred thousand emails he was able to gather. And that became the foundation of a very big, strong business based on challenges and workout programs. So there's a lot of parallels there. And I mean, there's an element of having the experience of being in the right place at the right time. But underneath that, like, do you want to like be more explicit about some of the things that you did to be able to benefit from the circumstance? Because we could say benefiting from luck. I mean, COVID was not good luck, but yet you were in a position to leverage the circumstance, right? The obstacle became the way.
Yeah. So I wasn't. So that is a great thing that you mentioned about tapping into something that already works. Because I have P90X. I have a lot of beach body stuff, right? Like, and that's what it was. That's really what I was not trying to do, but that I know worked. But when COVID came, it was a decision that I made to think, okay, well, what can I do to ensure that? Because we didn't know that things were going to be shut down for as long as it was. So I just, at the same time, I just made the decision to do things, taking what's working inside my membership. Because if I look inside the membership, what's happening in there? What are people saying? What they're liking it? What are they doing? And I take that information and I'm like, okay, well, if these guys love this and love the way these workouts are, then why wouldn't I just do this, you know, on YouTube? And so that coupled with, you know, using the mindset that follow along workouts in the past with Beachbody and that sort of thing worked. It was just, now my goal is just to consistently post. So I give people something, right? So post, and then test, because every time I'm posting, I'm looking to see, because just because I started doing it didn't mean I would have continued to do it. I have to see if people like it. First of all, if everyone hated it, then I'd be like, okay, well, this didn't work. Let's try something else. But people liked it. And so number one, number two is with YouTube, because you can embed these videos anywhere. When magazines would come to me, like Men Muscle Fitness and different magazines, with, hey, you know, we need some content for online, I would write my article around videos that I already have, because the potential of getting more views to that video, right? Getting more views to a video, and it was a follow-along workout. So that's another thing that was newer to most people. Like you said, it's not a new thing. Like it's not a new thing. It's just, it wasn't really happening on YouTube at that time. So now I'm thinking, okay, even to this day, whenever someone reaches out to me for an article, before I even say yes, I'm like, can I put a video with it? If I can't put a video with it, then unless it's in a magazine, it's like, I don't know if I want to spend all that time. I'd rather put the video with it so that person can get a relationship with me, because that is also what happens. You get a relationship with people, and now you're weeding out all the people who don't dig you, and you're focusing on the people who do dig you, because that's what you want too. You want a following, a tribe of people who love your content, because if you keep focusing on the people who love your content, both in comments, never comment to a negative comment, because you're putting more power into someone who hates you than to someone who loves you. And the people who love you will be like, hey man, I'm showing up every week for your videos. How come you don't say anything to me? How come you're putting power into this guy that hates your videos? Ooh. Once I learned that, it was powerful, because my funk army will take care of those people, which generally doesn't happen, but they will take care of them. So I learned very early in my YouTube career as well to never, ever say anything to those people who have a negative. I don't care, because I only comment to the people who like what I'm doing, because they're the ones that are supporting me. They're the ones that are fueling the information and the workouts that I'm giving them and the videos that I'm giving them. And then they're giving me feedback of what they want, and I'm going to give them back. And we have those subscribers keep coming back, we almost have a relationship. They know what give me the nucks after a workout means. They know what smell the rose means. They know what happens when I'm dying in a workout and I go, just follow Angela, who's my wife. Just follow Angela. Like they love that stuff. They love my wife in those workouts. So now it's literally a mini community outside of my membership. It's another community. But that in its own, like that in itself, allows you to just create a community around your YouTube workouts. Take some of those workouts, and now you're going to put them in other media places that you can, that you have access to. Because again, that allows other people to see who you are, allows other people to vibe with you. You're giving good content around an article, and you're just taking a workout video that may not have a lot of views, right? Because sometimes I take ones that just because YouTube has the power, right? Like, I mean, generally speaking, when you post something and you have 700,000 subscribers, all 700,000 subscribers should be able to see your video, right? That only makes sense, but that's obviously not the way it works. So we just do what we can. But yeah, that strategy is, yeah, it worked. It just, people really appreciated it. People really appreciated the ability to have workouts like that. And then more and more people started doing it as well, which was great.
This is incredible. I think this is really helpful for people. Yeah. Within all this, how much of your time goes into creating YouTube videos and probably working on the YouTube side of things, just so people can understand? Because obviously filming a live workout is super efficient, but there's also, you've got the great title slides and, you know, how much effort goes into this stuff?
Sure. So let me go back, because now I've been doing this for so long. It's like, let me go back to when I first started. I realized that I had to focus on once Facebook came, Instagram came, all these other things came, you know, then you want to, you're at first they're all new shiny toys, and the ways you can use and reach people using all of these different social media outlets, you're like, I gotta do Instagram. Okay. Yeah. I gotta do LinkedIn. I gotta do this. I gotta do YouTube. And I realized that, like, hey man, everything, why am I focusing on social media so much when the money's not coming from social media? It's coming from my emails that I'm collecting and the membership site and, you know, ads that I'm driving new members. So then I also realized, and it's a slow growth when you focus on everything, you gotta focus on one. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the one you're going to use. That's the one that, you know, like, if you look at my Instagram, I don't have a lot on Instagram. I don't have a lot on LinkedIn or whatever, wherever else. It's YouTube. Mm-hmm. And even now it's still slowed down. But at first, when I first started, it was, I think I was posting almost 3 times a week. So it would be, okay, what am I going to post? Then if I did it myself, which if you don't have someone to shoot videos for you, you're going to have to do it yourself, and don't worry about it. Because when I started, you needed to have a showy type video. Like when I first started, like, people wanted to see perfect transitions and all of this stuff. So I had to teach myself that. And they weren't even that great, but I did have to teach myself how to do all of these things at first. And then when I hired, because I realized, okay, I can't do this on my own, because it's going to take me hours, right? Because you gotta think of what you're going to do. So that takes about an hour. You got to create the workout. Then you have to go set it up. So go to the gym, set up the camera, put, you know, all of that in. So that's two and a half hours, right? Shoot the workout. You're dying after the workout. You bring everything home, put everything, you know, down. Now you have to upload the workout to wherever you're going to upload it to. And then you have to edit that. Literally, that takes a day, 2 days, depending on how much you want. Specifically for me, because I'm not a video editor, right? Like, so I'm just, it's like someone who doesn't know how to type. It's like, yeah, right. You're just punching one at a time. That's me as an editor. So like, it takes longer, and then you have to upload it. So it could take a day to 2 days, depending on what you want to shoot. So then I realized, okay, well, now I'm going to shoot demos, so I can shoot 30 exercises and then figure out the workouts from the exercises. Like, you know, you have to kind of, okay, man, this isn't working, spending a day, you know, figuring things out. So you just shoot a whole bunch of exercises, and then you just, okay, let me put these 5 and there's a demo. Let me put these 5 and there's a demo. You shoot a couple of intros. But the thing about YouTube is you have to do it every 2 or 3 times a week at first. If you're growing, you have to do that. But now, so after I realized I couldn't do it on my own, I hired guys to do it with me, Flex and Dex. We've been together for like 8-9 years. We've done programs together and that sort of thing. So there, that's much easier, because I show up at the gym, your video guy sets everything up, knows how to set everything up. We shoot with a camera. We used to shoot with an Osmo, you know, shooting with the phone. There's so many different, you know, the journey with them as well, just ways we can shoot. And then when you're with someone for a long time, they already know. They know how to edit your videos. They know in the back of their mind what they want to do with the video. And I give them that autonomy, because all I want to do is shoot. You guys, I'll say what I need to say, whatever. You guys make it into what you think it should be. Right. But now we're fast forwarding. So now it doesn't have to be perfect now, because so much of our social media content is people just, you know, just selfie type stuff. And that works, right? Or just setting up a camera and doing an exercise, that works. So now is the best time to get back into YouTube videos and not needing it to be like perfect. You know what I mean? Like, just content, whatever that content to you would be. Nowadays, I have strategies, right? So let me think about the content I'm shooting. Okay. So how am I going to use this content? Because I don't just shoot a YouTube video and only use it for YouTube. Okay. So as a business person, I have to think, okay, where can I use this content? Okay. I can use this as part of a program. This could be the bonus workout. So most of my workouts programs have four follow along workouts, right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the bonus. So that YouTube video, depending on what workout program I'm shooting, that's going to be the bonus. So it's like a bonus. So yes, they're paying for the workout, but man, the value they get from the workout program is going to supersede a video that is on YouTube.
I want to hit on something real quick. I know I'm interrupting, but
no worries.
So people are going to be, you know, hearing that, wait a minute, you have a membership site and videos in there, but then you're doing the same thing over to free YouTube. Let's hit on something. And I want to see if you agree with me on this. People aren't paying for the information. They're paying for, so the value of being part of your membership is elsewhere. It's the accountability and other deeper elements of the relationship. Can you maybe expand upon that a little bit?
Yes, great. That's great. Yeah, you know what they're paying for? Results. That's what they're paying for. They're paying for the results and the, like you said, the accountability, being part of a brotherhood, a community. So whatever. So my programming is a phase, 36 phases. That's one phase is 1 month. And so that's 3 years of programming. Okay. So that they, every time someone comes in the program, everybody starts in phase one, then they go to phase two, then they go to phase three. No one comes in and starts in other than phase one. That's how this program works, so that everyone can go through the same workouts and have the same experience. So someone who's in phase 22, and when someone in phase one goes, man, that first workout was so tough, the response to that is, yeah, don't worry, man. That was tough for me when I first started, but keep going. And now, because everyone's on the same journey. So that's number one. Number two, that every single phase has four main workouts. So not every phase of my, not every phase has one workout that's on YouTube, but generally, if I am going to put a workout, shoot a workout, it's generally going to be a workout from an upcoming phase or upcoming program, and that'll be the bonus. So most people don't even realize that. Well, I guess they do. Now they do. Now they know. Now they know, because they know that that YouTube video is going to be a bonus workout somewhere. So, and a lot of guys will even just use the YouTube video because they're like, I know that this is something new that we haven't seen before. Funk's got something up his sleeve. Let's do this workout. So it's just, you know, this, it's three main workouts with one bonus. Those three main workouts are not on YouTube. Those are behind the scenes. But that one workout, I need to strategically use that everywhere. And I'm very clear with that too. I let them know that this workout, you know, it may be on YouTube in the video. I generally am talking about YouTube in the video anyway. So it's an understanding. But like you said, They're not like, oh, well, this work, I can get this workout on YouTube. Yeah, you can. But what about the other three workouts? What about the nutrition? What about the weekly coaching that we do? What about the accountability that you get with the membership? What about all the bonus workouts? And what about the results? What about the results that you get on a weekly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, right? Like all of those things, you know, and I think people understand that. You know, at this point, they understand. Like, it, you know who puts barriers up? It's the actual creator. They're thinking, oh, I can't put it on YouTube because they're paying for it. It's like, yeah, actually you can, because the amount of time it takes someone to look for all of your workouts on YouTube, they're not going to do it. They want something that's done for you. They need handholding. We are here to handhold people through the process. They probably could care less if every one of those videos are on YouTube, if you handhold the process. Give, you know, handhold them and take them through the process of transformation.
There's something here that I think is really worthwhile. And this is something that Luca Hosvar said to me recently, and it's something I've been thinking about a lot. Coaches, we get really caught up in whatever program we're delivering, especially any coaches that came up through, like I did, within the gym model of you train the client for the hour, which I still do and still love. My clientele appreciate that. But we then become very trained to think in terms of the value that we charge is based upon time spent. Now, if you take that same coach and you turn it into an online coaching experience, right? Whether it's nutrition training, then we can feel the urge to create more elaborate setups more touch points, and that some people want more touch points, but basically spend more time. And we need to de-link the time we spend and the value of the program. And what you said, what matters is the results. So if you're dealing with men in their 40s through their 60s, I'm guessing a fair number of those men are professional. You know, they're probably a lot of dads, right? And these are people that probably don't want more layers, more complexity, and more work to do. They want something that's laid out for them, efficient. They don't necessarily need an hour-long individualized coaching call each week for all of them. Some people probably would value that, and it's cool if you guys do that. But if anything, it's making sure that the structure is there so that they're getting the results. When they need something, they have an efficient way to get the answers that they need. Do you agree with that?
150,000,000%. Yes. So that's how I, so let's, I'm going to just kind of segue into the membership, right? And the two memberships I've had. So the first membership, which at first was, brought me seven plus, figures every year, and then crashed and like exploded. Like into nothing. And then the new one, which now is a sustainable seven, we're working on eight figures as we move forward. There's a massive difference between the two with the membership. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because I'm going to touch on the results driven portion of it. And so my first membership was just like a Netflix, like just putting workouts up, like every month a workout program would come up. I just throw a ton of content in there, like tons, like over deliver. And what and tons of people were coming in, but the way I was getting them in with the, oh, buy this program here and I will give you 14 days free in my membership. And then you'll get charged $47 in 14 days. Well, back in the day, that's how most people did their membership sites. But what happens with that is the person's not buying the membership. They're spending like $9 or $3 on this program. And 14 days later, they're getting a $47 charge. Or sometimes it's like 8 months later because they don't realize that they're getting charged. So I had to give back all that money. I had to refund, and just the stress of getting all of these things coming through the mail. And it was just like, I felt really bad. And that's not how I wanted to make my money, because I only wanted people who wanted to be in my program. So in the end, it was a seven figure, and literally had to refund pretty much all of that money back and kind of start from scratch. And when I started from scratch, I only wanted to work with people who wanted to be in the membership. So right off the bat, I let people know it was a membership, but I also had to build something that was sustainable, because what I also realized is when people come into a Netflix style, they don't know where to start. They have no clue where to start. The reason why they're coming to you or to me or to any fitness person is because they need help. They don't want, they don't want a place to go, and they have to kind of choose, well, which one should I start? What should I do? This one, wait, what is this one? So it's like they have no clue. So now it's even more frustrating for them. That's why I said, okay, I'm going to create a membership where everyone starts, and it's every phase. Everything's follow along, phase one to phase two to phase three. And then I have to think about retention. How am I going to keep these people in my membership? Well, there's two ways you're going to do that. One with results, and number two with building, like a tribe, like community. Like we have every 3 months for the first year, you get a t-shirt at the end of 3 months that says something, right? So it's a milestone t-shirt. So what we're doing is we're building uniformity within, because now you're getting thousands of guys who have the same kind of t-shirt because they went through phase three, phase six, phase nine, phase 12. At phase 12, you become an alpha OG, and now you're an OG because you've actually lived this program for 12 months. So now you can go back, and now the program becomes bigger than you. It sounds like, oh, I'm helping these new guys coming in, right? The other thing that I had to make sure I did was to get results is coaching. So I literally did coaching every single week, Sunday, 10 a.m. They call it church. We get online. And literally I would coach, whether it be, I would have a topic, whether it's mindset, nutrition, supplements, and I have a topic. It was on Zoom. So now we have a community. Everyone sees each other. They ask, answer questions. They ask questions. I take them off mute so they speak and so people can hear them. And now you're really getting this brotherhood of guys who are all different, like, you know, like I say, from late 30s to 70s. We have all different colors, all different religions, all different creeds. Like, it's in all backgrounds, not all professional too. We got truck drivers, we got ex-military, we got all kinds of people, but they're telling each other how much they love each other every day. They're supporting each other. Why? Because we don't talk politics, we don't talk religion, and we do not talk pop culture. It's all about helping each other inside that brotherhood. So now you have a brotherhood of people. We have our own signs. Like, every, if you walk down the street and you're like, hey, that person looks familiar, and you just give them this sign, right? We have a sign where you put a peace sign up to your shoulder. They know, oh, you're part of the brotherhood. Oh, what's up, man? You know, like, like, we have our own sayings, like, you know, smell the rose. We're actually making a shirt that says smell the rose, because that's what I say to people in between the metabolic workouts, in between the intervals, like when you're dying and you need you need air. I go, smell the rose, fill up your diaphragm, smell the rose. And then so it just becomes something. And where is that from? Well, the videos, right? So that's where you get that commonality with the people who you are shooting those videos for, right? And just being myself, like, very transparent. Like I say, farting, burping, telling people to follow my wife, dying in the middle. Okay, guys, you just keep going. Like, real. It's real. Like, literally real. So people just relate to that. And then, of course, the results. We have a page, a proof page. And literally, you could scroll down that proof page for about 20, 30 minutes. And it's not just the before and after pictures, right? It's the, and this is for the trainers who, and coaches out there who, you know, we do this. The number one reason we should be doing this is to get results for the people who we're serving, because the money will come after that. If you're not results driven, you're just money driven, you're going to have a very hard time building something that's going to be, you're going to have gratification for, right? Because the money, as we all know, you can have a ton of money, but if you don't, inside, if you're not happy with what you're doing and how you're doing it, it's not going to do anything. But when I see guys who, you know, they're off their prescription drugs, their relationship with their wives are better, the relationship with their kids, you know, like, their testosterone levels naturally increase, because my program is also based on helping them naturally increase testosterone levels. So we have ways to, you know, people, okay, I did mine last 90 days ago, this is what it is now, it's gone up, you know, so that's great. All of the changes in people's lives that are not, I don't want to say superficial, because, you know, changing the body transformation is huge, but it's like all those other things that you don't think about that are almost more important to those people than just, oh yeah, I got six pack abs. Cause most guys coming in the program don't ever think they're ever going to get six pack abs. People who come into my program are not in shape. They don't know how to work out. They haven't worked out in years. They don't, if they go to the gym, they're the guys who are walking around the gym who, you know, well, go to the chess machine and then kind of do a couple there. And then, you know, kind of sit around, look around, maybe go to the dumbbells, pick up, do some. And then they realize, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just going to go on the treadmill. Like, that's these guys. Yeah. They haven't trained in a long time. So taking them through the program, right? Follow along workouts, progressively getting tougher and tougher as they go through. After the 1 year to alpha, you move into alpha plus, and that's a whole other. Now you're becoming an alpha savage. The workouts are tougher, you know, and it's just more of a, you know, you just have that it's not just the workouts, it's all the nutrition and it's everything. It's just, it's amazing, but it's all built on videos. It's all built on videos, Vimeo, or, you know, for me, YouTube. And as I circle around now to like YouTube today, it's, you know, when my video guys are up, can work, I'm always shooting follow. Every time I go to the gym, I shoot a follow along workout. Because I know that in the end, it's going to be used for something, whether it's YouTube or whether it's an actual workout in a program, because I don't do anything for the membership anymore because it's 3 years in there. But maybe it's for something different. Now there's new workout. Like, I may try something that I haven't done, like PHA training. I haven't done that in many, many, many years. Like peripheral heart action. I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do a program and I'm going to do these workouts. Like, oh, man, this is like, it's tough. Like those workouts are tough. You know what I mean? Like there's so many different things that I can try and create that I know that are going to be beneficial for my demographic. Right.
This is amazing. And I love the fact that you specifically shared the mistakes or the failure along the way before you got there. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting here and like, I love getting to do this. I still do these podcasts because I thoroughly enjoy it. I take a lot away from them. I had last episode was with Dan Goh, and Dan is bloody brilliant when it comes to like how he's built media, brand systems, you name it. Right. And so this ties in really well. And this stuff is both like, wow, this is brilliant, but it can also be really overwhelming. So I bet you anybody listening is going, holy shit, like that's so big and so daunting. I wouldn't know where to start. But I think if they actually like carefully, I actually think people need to go and re-listen to this episode because I think there's a lot of great stuff here. And it doesn't mean they have to try to replicate what you've turned it into. I think this is a long process, but yes, there are brilliant lessons along the way about pieces that you can either replicate or incorporate. So I appreciate you sharing this. I've enjoyed this one. Everybody listening, please, guys, will you go follow Funk?
Roberts.
That I do. Like I was thinking, like I was gonna say Instagram, but I was like, no, man. Like, go check out your YouTube because they can learn a lot from your YouTube. So, Funk, where do they find you on those channels?
Yeah, so over40shred.com is like the blog for men over 40, the main site. Funk Roberts on YouTube, Funk Roberts Fitness on Instagram. That's really the two. Basically, that's it. I'm if you are interested in training men over 40, then yeah, just reach out to me at funkroberts@gmail.com. I'm creating a certification course right now, because I know that one of the things with trainers and coaches is that and certifications is there's no certifications out there or courses that teach people how to train men over 40. So anyways, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm in the midst of doing it right now, so I don't want to, you know,
fair. Listen, guys, go, everybody listening, go follow what Funk's doing. You can pull a lot of stuff out of this and then follow along as he reveals more stuff. So obviously anybody listening, I appreciate you guys, your patronage. I hope you enjoyed the last episode with Dan. I got some more great stuff coming up. And as well, I mean, it's going to be real short notice when you're hearing this, but especially if you can slip into Toronto, you're in the Toronto area, Funk and I will be boots on the ground at the Kenfit Pro Global Conference and Trade Show. My days there, I've got like a full talk. We have a panel. I have a different panel. And then I have a fireside chat with my people, Melody Schoenfeld, Luca is going to be there, Lee Boyce, who's based out of Toronto, and Michael Mash. And there's a couple more people. But anyway, so I'll be boots on the ground the whole week and you're going to be there. So if anybody wants to come hang out and meet us both, see what we're talking about, guys, come to this show. This is going to be a really big expo, big event. The whole expo, I think, runs from like the 16th to the 20th. But I think the educational stuff is mostly condensed into the 18th and 19th. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Funk, appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
For everybody else, if you found my stuff through Funk's media, take a look through my library of guests. You may find some other great people you like. And if you're one of my people, longtime people, go check out what Funk's doing and support him. Thank you so much, guys.